Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by SuperValu Insurance, looking out for you and yours with our new life and mortgage protection insurance.
Well, now let me bring you back to Belfast 1998. The main political parties in the north were trying to hammer out an agreement on the political future and an end to the Troubles. And they delivered the historic Good Friday Agreement in April of that year. Senator George Mitchell, of course, chaired the talks, and the politicians included John Hume, David Trimble, Bertie Ahern, Tony Blair, Gerry Adams, and very few women. But one key woman was the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland at the time, Mo Molam, a really interesting character. Well, Owen McCafferty's play, Agreement, based on the Good Friday Agreement talks, has come to Dublin, to the Gate Theatre. And Andrea Irvine plays the role of Mo Molam. You'll, of course, know her from Red Rock and Line of Duty and lots of other films and TV shows. And she's with me now. Andrea, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So nice to have you here in studio. Listen, before we talk about you and your career, let's talk about Mo Molam. Here she was in the middle of the Good Friday Agreement with a whole load of men. What did you think of her at the time?
Well, to be honest with you, at the time I was in London, so I wasn't, you know, I wasn't on the ground and I wasn't massively engaged. But I knew that people were talking about her, that in a way that I had never remembered people talking about the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland. I mean, she had made such an impact with her own approach, her own personality. You know, she was known so well for her honesty, for her straight talking. She had huge empathy and an enormous sense of humour and informality that, you know, I think most people absolutely adored. Some people didn't in the political spectrum, but I think it really endeared her, and I think people trusted her, really trusted her.
Yeah, definitely. How do you see her now, among having played her on stage in Agreement? How do you see her? I suppose you've got to know her much more, haven't you? Because you've had to get into her character.
I mean, I think it's I've sort of arrived at a better understanding of the enormous contribution she made. She was instrumental in it happening. She transformed the politics. I don't think that's, you know, saying too much, because of her approach, because of her inclusivity, her absolute belief in equality and that everyone should be at the table. And again, that extraordinary personality that, you know, she could sit with anyone. She could sit with anyone and they felt heard, they felt listened to. And that was instrumental in creating a climate where peace could potentially flourish.
And of course, there was a bit of tension between her and Tony Blair. She was doing all this behind the scenes work, and then he definitely sidelined her a bit.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. You know, I've read her memoir and she doesn't really say too much about it, actually. She's very, you know, good about that. But the stories are there. And I've spoken to various people who were there at the time, journalists and that. And they say definitely that happened those final days. It was essential, absolutely essential that Blair was there, that Bertie Ahern was there with that heft that they could bring as the leaders. But she was moved over, and there were meetings that took place that she should have been in and she wasn't allowed into them. And she was spitting. Absolutely spitting. And then, unfortunately, I think what's happened for her is because she very sadly died in 2005, and, you know, who knows what else she would have gone on to do after Northern Ireland. But that legacy, her legacy in Northern Ireland, I think, is also not fully acknowledged. Yeah. And so, like, if in any way the play kind of helps to redress that, then that's great.
Yeah. I think it really does, actually. And you've brought this play to the Lyric in Belfast and to New York already. Tell me, you know, how Owen McCafferty brings us into the heart of these discussions. They were going on, as we all know, in 98. How does he do that without it becoming a boring history lesson?
Yeah, no, he does it brilliantly, actually, because you have these characters on stage and he actually makes a virtue of the fact of the two steps forward, one step back, that repetition, that constant, the same conversations happening over and over. But what he does over the course of the play is he keeps, it's people having to sort of acknowledge that there is a bigger goal, there is a bigger goal. And then you watch the courage, the really enormous commitment that these leaders, you know, who they're representative of the many, many people who were instrumental in getting the agreement done, how eventually they were able to put these, you know, sort of very, very deeply felt beliefs, and they were able to make those compromises. And it, you know, Owen has great fun with how boring and difficult, and but over the slightest word, you know, I have a line in the play where it says every detail matters, every line, every word, every look, and that was Northern Ireland, and that was the challenge.
Yeah, no, he does it so well. Mo, of course, many people remember, I was lucky enough to interview her a good few times at the time. She had a benign brain tumour and she wore a wig, and sometimes she'd just whip it off when it was itchy. How closely do you try to portray her mannerisms and her way of speaking?
I think it's very important that we kind of realised very quickly when we went into it that we were not doing impersonations. And that is absolutely vital. But you're trying to get an essence of the character. And so therefore, there's certain things that you can hang your hat on in terms of the characters. And with Mo, because her appearance had, you know, been radically impacted by the tumour and the medication and treatment that she was having. So you know, you have that wig, and you know, I have a, you know, then the wig that is with the hair falling out, you know. One other thing that was enormously helpful to me, and you don't even have to overdo it, but I got to work with the amazing Brendan Gunn, extraordinary voice coach, and he was able to identify with me just small little things in her speech that you just went, just one, like she had a particular R sound, and just even when you say that, you kind of go, ah, yeah, I remember. And just those small touches kind of help to sort of place it. But then you don't need to overdo it either.
Yeah, that's brilliant, actually, to have that detail, though. One of our listeners, Judy, says, Miriam, when you ask Andrea if there was much difference in the audience reaction between Belfast and Dublin, we were at the opening night in the Gate on Friday. It's a wonderful play. And Andrea was fabulous as Mo. That's interesting, actually, different audiences, Dublin and Belfast.
Definitely. I mean, we've only done two shows. I am fascinated to see how a Dublin audience will respond to it and what it will mean to them. I mean, because we had an extraordinary response in the Lyric Theatre in Belfast, but because, you know, people had really lived through this, people had really, it was their story, literally on the ground story, and it was an enormous privilege actually to do the play for a Northern audience. I think people down here were at a slightly different remove from it, but again, there's still an enormous awareness and investment in it. Just want to see how they respond, like, what it means to them. You know, I think the play is, it works so well in that it serves as a brilliant reminder of how important this was, because time can slightly dull that a bit, and it has been very checkered. It's not a perfect agreement. You know, it has had challenges along the way. But at that time, that the hope that it offered, the fundamental change from the trauma of the conflict. And I think it reminds people of that. And I don't know, people hopefully renews people in a kind of way that they kind of go, well, there's no way back.
Yeah,
there is no way back. You know, and it's tough, but we keep going.
And you would know that better than many people, Andrea, because you grew up in Belfast.
I grew up outside of Belfast, and I grew up in a housing estate. And it was very divided. And I grew up in a Protestant housing estate on the fringes of Belfast. And you don't know it because I was very young when it all kicked off. And you just don't know that that's actually happening. That's what's happening. That's what your world is. But you do grow up with that sense of them and us, you're either for us, you're against us. There's this, it was so polarized. And then the violence that just seemed, endless and like there was no way out of it. So it's funny with time, as time goes on and you look back at it, the understanding of how difficult the whole situation was for people just trying to go about their lives.
And so many people of your generation left.
Yeah.
Just got out. Two things. When did you leave and when did you go into acting?
So I left. I went to college over in Scotland. But I never really, I never had a sense that I wanted to get away from Northern Ireland. I just kind of thought it was exciting to go somewhere else and have a different experience. And so I didn't have that feeling that I needed to get away. You know, I actually really loved Northern Ireland. And, I loved, there's this horrendous conflict and violence going on, but you know, this is what I love about Derry Girls, because it's like, yeah. it's fundamentally a story about teenage girls and their cousin. And I mean, and that is, and most of the time you're just getting on with being a teenage yeah. girl and you're thinking about discos and yeah. boys and hanging out with your pals, you know. And then there's this extraordinary thing happening in your environment, you know. So anyway, I went away, I came back, and I had started to get involved in drama. I did a little bit at school and then at university. But and I knew by the time I left university, I was going to give it a lash. But I knew nothing. I mean, I knew nothing. I knew nothing about how, you know, who to talk to or anything like that. So, yeah, I jumped in and I came back to Belfast and I knocked on doors. And very, very fortunately, there's a wonderful company that had just formed called Tinderbox, who are still going and producing phenomenal work. And they let me come and play, which was just amazing. It was great.
And then you live in Dublin. When did you leave and come to Dublin?
I came to Dublin. I actually then, because in Tinderbox, I met people who had worked with Druid Theatre Company. And I went, oh, right. And fantastic. I got in touch with them and I miraculously got a job with them. And when I was down there, I met lots of people who lived in Dublin. And I thought, oh, well, right. I'll, you know, it was as thought out as that, you know. So I thought, well, I'll give that a go. And, you know, 35 years later, I'm still here.
It's a great city.
It is a great city. It has
and
been very
tell
good
me
to
a little about your home life. I know your partner, Patrick, he was a very fine actor himself, but he changed tack. Was that because if you're both actors, it's not the most stable career in the history of the world?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's you know, again, nobody should be under any illusion. Yeah, it's a very difficult business. It's very hard to get work in. And then two children come along. Yeah. And that is a very sobering. So it's like, you know, at that stage, you know, Patrick made the decision then to go on another way because, you know, bills have yeah. to be paid. And, you know, it's very difficult. Very difficult.
He might go back to it one day.
Who knows?
And your two boys, are they grown up now?
Yeah, 23 and 20. My eldest, he's just graduated. And my younger son yeah. Harry is about to start university, so yeah.
Any of the acting genes in there?
Not one
You're
bit.
Keeping them away from
Not
it.
One bit. No, they're very much doing their own thing and happy out. So
I love you in Red Rock, Blue Lights, Line of Duty. What is it about you and police shows?
I know. You just kind of go, oh my God. Yeah, and I seem to be getting like, you know, I'm going up the ranks as well. So
you
I think
are.
It's the grey hair. You
You're
know,
getting
so,
promoted.
You know, in Blue Lights, I am actually now, you know, assistant chief superintendent. So, yeah, no, they're great. Look, I do, the appetite for police procedurals is enormous. And so, it, you know, when Blue Lights came in and, you know, you're kind of going, oh, just what we need, another police show. But I mean, Blue Lights is an exceptional show.
Yeah.
And again, it is, you know, Declan Lawn and Adam Patterson are doing a remarkable thing. You know, they're using the format of a police procedural. Mm-hmm. And through that lens of policing, again, they're looking at Northern Ireland in as a post-conflict society, the whole legacy of that, you know, and what people are dealing with on the ground. But again, with lives that could be happening anywhere, you know?
Yeah, it's so good, actually. Yeah. Now, you're also in an upcoming film called The Teacher. That brought you to the West Bank. Mm. You're really proud of this film.
I'm very proud of this film. I mean, it was an exceptional experience. I was over there filming for 2 to 3 weeks in 2022. And so it's the film is made by British Palestinian director, writer Farah Nabulsi. And yeah, so the project is the idea for her that it came from in 2006. There was a young IDF soldier, Gilad Shilat, and he was abducted by Hamas. And there was enormous international pressure came to bear. And anyway, 2011, he was eventually released. But there was, I think, around 1,200 Palestinian people in a prisoner exchange program released at the same time. And for Farah was just kind of looking at that going, how can one life be the equivalent of 1,200? And like that was her, you know, point of entry into the story. And she explores, and in a way that we just, I don't think we really see on cinema, the lives of Palestinian people in the West, wasn't in Gaza, it was in the West Bank. Yeah, the enormous challenges they face on a day-to-day basis, just trying to go about their daily lives. You know, so I think it's an important film, and I think obviously, in light of the horrendous conflict now in Gaza and beyond, even more
timely. You've also got a lot of other stuff lined up. You're very busy. You've got Call the Midwife and another short called Pete. Tell me about Pete.
So, yeah, I have to definitely give Pete a shout out. Oh, yeah, and I just want to say that the teacher is currently in the Lighthouse Cinema and the QFT in Belfast and other cinemas around the country. So I would really encourage people to check it out. Pete, this is a wonderful 19 minutes of glorious filmmaking by a very talented, the very talented Paddy Baggett. And Mary McAvoy's in it, Chris Wally's in it, Michael Power, myself. And it is a beautiful short. So it's now setting off on the festival circuit. I think it's going to Kerry next. And I think people will really enjoy it.
Do you have a preference between stage and screen? I mean, you're obviously incredibly busy, or do you like both?
I like both. Mm. I mean, I like working. I think most actors would say I like working. I absolutely adore theatre, but I really, really love film and television as well, because it has such an extraordinary reach. You know, that's a very exciting thing. But it's jobs, please.
But you know what's interesting? I was thinking when you were coming in today, you know, you're very busy. You're very much in demand. You look like you're going to be looking forward to decades more. And the roles on offer for women these days, they seem to be a lot better than they used to be.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable. And I mean, it's still part of a journey. I still don't think we're there, but it is about women, and particularly women as they're getting older, being the centre of their own stories. You know, that they are not somebody's wife, somebody's girlfriend, somebody's sister, da 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 da. They're the somebody. And, and that's what we want to see. That's what I want to see.
It's great.
You know, so.
Yeah. About time, as they say.
Overdue.
Yeah.
Long overdue, I would say.
Listen, Andrea Irvine, thanks so much for being here. I've seen Agreement. It's a wonderful play. It's in the Gate Theatre now as part of the Dublin Theatre Festival. It runs until the 27th of October. Everyone should go and see it. And tickets are from gatetheatre.ie. Mind yourself. Thanks so much for being my guest
Thank
today.
You, Miriam.
Mind yourself. We'll take a break.